Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Stadium. Hello and welcome to the Arsenal Weekly Podcast for the week of the 6th of November 2017. I'm your host, Russell Hargreaves. Coming up on today's show, Hector Bellerin on his studies outside of football. We look at the letter D in the A to Z of Arsenal, and I take on Adrian Clarke in the latest round of Brain of Arsenal. But let's kick off by looking back at another double game week with our Arsenal insider.
Let's hear from another Arsenal insider on the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Well, here to talk about another double game week for Arsenal, delighted to say that the London Evening Standard's James Ollie joins us on the Arsenal Weekly Podcast. James, how's it going?
Yeah, good, thanks. How are you, Russ?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you, pal. We'll start, I think, you covered both of the games over the last few days with a point in the Europa League against Red Star Belgrade, which, as we know, confirms Arsenal at least making their way through to another phase.
Yeah, it did. I mean, it was a bit of an underwhelming occasion. I think in isolation, obviously the ground wasn't full. I think it was significant. I think given that obviously the first home game against Cologne was a bit of a farce from a ticketing point of view. So we didn't really know how much the Europa League was really engaging with home fans until that game. So I think they voted with their feet a little bit. But you know, the team got the job done. I mean, they qualified with two games to spare, obviously unbeaten so far. And, you know, I think now we'll probably see, although it's been a second string side up until this point, we'll probably see a third string side if such a thing exists. You know, even more kids, I think, thrown in the last couple of games to give someone an opportunity.
And you think about one or two of those options, obviously Eddie Nketiah having his chance and doing really well. Lads like Ben Sheaf getting fit and being around that periphery. There's actually one or two in that tier who've either taken a chance already or are desperate to do so.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Matt Macey's probably another one you could throw into that category as well. I thought he actually did quite well in the Belgrade game. And obviously, you know, with Ospina being out injured, that was the only reason he got his chance, really. But you think now that the level that he's shown right at the start, that maybe he might get a run in those last two games and show what he can do.
Yeah, which would be very useful for him moving forward, for sure. Lots of talk about Jack Wilshere, had one cleared off the line. And again, it's just impressing when he gets his chances, James.
Yeah, and significant for him on a personal level, because obviously that game came on the same day that he was left out of the England squad, which, you know, will have been a blow to him. I mean, I know that I've spoken to him a couple of times about this, and I know that, you know, the World Cup very much is in his mind. It is something that he wants to be a part of. And I think he might have thought, although the October games came too early, that maybe this time he thought he would get involved and he'd be ready to play and make the squad. So I think that was a blow for him, but he responded to that well. And you know, he obviously got 10 or 15 minutes, I think, at the Etihad on Sunday. So, you know, that's another step, because that's only his second Premier League appearance, I think, so since he's come back. So, you know, he's getting there incrementally. And obviously he's now got, about 3 or 4 months, so it's March, I think, the next England squad, to really try and push on and get regular minutes for Arsenal, so that he can obviously sort his contract situation out first at club level and then hopefully get into the England team.
James, let's move on to events on Sunday at the Etihad Stadium. You were there for that, for the Standard as well. Another disappointing away day against another top four and potential title rival of recent years.
Yeah, it was a curious performance, really. I know that the team selection was affected by the fact that, that Mertesacker fell ill on the eve of the game. Rob Holding had an injury, which meant, obviously, in addition to Mustafi being out, that Coquelin had to drop in. But I did think that decision was slightly odd, given that, you know, Matthew Debussy has played a few games of late. I mean, OK, you could argue the risk of throwing in, you know, a player like that into a game against City, but, you know, he is an established defender. You know, Mohamed Elneny, if you're going to play a midfielder at centre-half, well, Elneny's been playing there recently. So to drop Coquelin in, I thought, was a bit of a curious call, as was Lacazette, obviously not starting. He didn't start at Liverpool, and I know a lot of fans were quite upset about that. And yeah, Wenger repeated the trick here. And it only served really to heighten the irritation about that, because when he came on, he obviously scored with pretty much his first chance. And he looked sharp. And that was Arsenal's best period of the game, really, when they... You know, they were 2-0 down, they got back to 2-1, and there was about a 10-minute spell there where you thought they could go 2-2 here. City looked vulnerable. You know, we all talk about how good City are going forward, and it's undeniable they're the best team in the league at the moment, but they are vulnerable at the back. They do concede goals, and you just thought, well, during that period when Arsenal played with a bit of purpose, a bit of intensity, and a bit of risk, really, that they did look like getting back into the game, but... ultimately, the decisions went against them. The penalty was a sort of 50-50 call, and obviously the third goal was offside, which killed it. But all in all, it was another disappointing afternoon, and obviously that extends this run now of, I think it's 15 away games at the top six without a win, which is a problem that Arsene Wenger needs to address.
Just hear a little bit from Arsene Wenger then, James, ruining those couple of key decisions that you've mentioned that didn't go Arsenal's way.
You have seen what I've seen. You judge how you want. But I think the fact that you tell me is an offside goal shows is enough. You know, that means it's time. I don't want to take anything away from their quality. But it happened at a moment where we went less. We were really in the game at 2-1, and it killed the game. And it's the second year we come here. We get two offside goals last year, and we get one again this year. And apart from that, I felt that we started well in the first 10 minutes. After we suffered because we played too deep, and for 25 minutes, in the last 10 minutes, we came back into the game. Second half was an even game. It was us chasing the game. And them always being dangerous on counter-attacks, but... I felt we put a lot of effort in, and the 2-1, they were. You could feel that we could come back, you know, and the 3-1 was an immense relief for him, an unexpected present, but it is as it is.
And yeah, that penalty decision, James, in particular, that's led to a lot of discussions and talking points as a result on Monday, hasn't it? The incident and then Wenger's reaction.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's clumsy. Monreal got the wrong side of Sterling. You know, he opened them up, and I think he's looking for it. I think calling him a diver as he has done, I think is maybe overstepping the mark a little bit. But he certainly is looking for the contact, and when he feels it, I think he goes to ground. You know, that was obviously a key moment in the game, as was the third goal. But you know. You'd be wrong, really, to focus on those two decisions as if they were the determining factors. City were the better team on the day. You felt as though they still had another gear or two they could have gone through. It wasn't quite clicking through in the final third. It wasn't the sort of complete free-flowing performances that we've seen from them in other matches recently. But you just felt that they were going to find a way to win that game. OK, they got a bit of help from the referee this time, but I think if they'd not found that way, they would have found another way.
And James, just to finish, we look at where things stand now. International break, obviously lots of commitments for players. And then coming back, it will be Spurs. It's going to be huge, that, isn't it, to come back and get some kind of result to make sure that this City result doesn't really bury effectively Arsenal's title hopes for the season, or at least top four.
Yeah, it's a huge game. It's an absolutely huge game. And, you know, there's been a lot over the years written about the balance of power between the two clubs shifting in North London. I think Wenger's never been challenged more than he is now on all sides, really. You know, this is, it's a huge game for him. You know, he he was given this new two-year contract based on the idea that he could challenge for the Premier League and obviously the Champions League as and when they get back into it next year. And to be 12 points behind City already in early November is a huge ask to try and claw that back over the coming months. So it's a colossal thing, really. And, you know, Arsenal need a response. The break probably comes at a decent time insofar as they can clear their heads. They can all go away with their countries and then come back and refocus. But I think it will be a really high quality game of football. And I'd like, you know, you hope again that Arsenal can go out on the front foot and really try and take the game to Tottenham. Because again, I think if they relinquish control of the game, relinquish territory, try and hit Spurs on the break, you know, you don't want to be giving those kind of players that amount of control in the game. I'd like to see Arsenal really take the game to them, particularly at home in front of their own fans, and really go and put a performance that shows that they can go and have a positive second half of the season.
James, brilliant stuff. Really appreciate your time here on the Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Pleasure.
Hector Bellerin recently completed a degree in marketing at the University of Pennsylvania. Hector spoke to us about that process and what he hopes to achieve in the future with it.
Hector, we know that you did a marketing diploma from the University of Pennsylvania last year. Can you just tell us about how that went for you, how you found the whole experience?
Well, I live with my friend, and we decided that we're gonna create a marketing agency. So, you know, I've been, you know, I'm a player that's always I like to be on social media. I like to see what people like, what people don't like, when we post stuff, when I don't. So. You know, I got really curious really quick, and, you know, even though I'm really young, you need to always think ahead, think what was there for you when you finish your football. I think the quicker you realise that, the better. So, you know, I took a course, was a diploma with the University of Pennsylvania in marketing, and it was a basic degree, just basically teaching me all the key points of it. And, you know, I every day after training, I used to go home and finish all my deadlines. And, you know, it was quite hard, you know, because something that you do online, you don't have a teacher, and it's quite hard. The language sometimes was a bit difficult for me as well. But, you know, really pleased that I did it. It's always have fun learning, you know, even if it's on and off the pitch. So I think, you know, something that's always going to be there with me now.
Did you enjoy the discipline of it, the fact that you had set deadlines? I know that can be tough, especially when football isn't a regular schedule, is it? Was it hard to fit it around it? Did you like the discipline? How did you?
Well, to be fair, even though we have quite a hectic schedule sometimes, we have a lot of time off when we have training in the mornings, then we have a lot of time in the afternoon. So, you know, I'm a person that when it commits to something, I always stick to it. So, you know, I knew it was only going to be a few months, and, you know, I would stick to it every week. It was hard sometimes, but, you know, the reward when you finish and you pass that exam is exciting.
And you say you're thinking about life after football. You're still a young man. There's still a lot of years to go in your football career. But how important is it to always be thinking, do you think, that step ahead?
Well, I think sometimes football players, they get to like, the 30s, and then they start thinking about what they're going to do after, and then, you know, suddenly maybe you can get injured, and things, you know, they get rushed, and you end up like with not playing football and not thinking about what you're going to do after it. And, you know, sometimes I've known people that when they take football away from you, it's hard to find who you are, kind of like what are you here for, kind of thing. And, you know, it's important for me, I think, to from such a young age to just have clear things in my mind. You never know, there's always going to be like even injuries or stuff like this. It's not even just with the age. I've got a friend of mine that had to stop football due to cardiac arrest, you know, when he was really, really young. So, I mean, these things happen in football, so you always have to be ready for it. And hopefully, if God wants me to like finish my career in my late years, then I will have all these years to keep learning other things and, you know, have the clarity in my head of what to do whenever I finish.
And you never know, you could go into business with Mathieu Flamini. We know he's got his energy company.
And he started when he was young, when he was, after training, he used to go to meetings, he used to do this. And, you know, a lot of people in the dressing room would look at him like a bit of a madman, you know. But I think he's a clear example that you can do both things. And, you know, if you believe in something and, you know, you have the right resources, then you can make it happen for sure.
Charlie!
To Z.
Or Charlie George, who can hit him. Oh, a great goal!
Arsenal.
Bergkamp has found Pires. Pires towards Henry. And Arsenal found a goal!
D is for Dickoff. Paul came through the academy ranks at the club, played 22 times and scoring 4 goals before moving to Manchester City in 1996.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This game going on against the backdrop of news via the radios of what's happening up at Boundary Park. Right hounding Young. On its end, Dickoff! Paul Dickoff puts another nail in the Crystal Palace coffin. Well, Arsenal keeping at it. Oh, and they've got a goal of great quality from Dickoff. Headed on by Hartson. And Dickoff! Smart finishing there, and Arsenal have forged their way into the lead. John Hartson played a major part, and Paul Dickoff, round pressman.
D is also for one of Paul's Highbury teammates, the legendary Lee Dixon. Lee spent 14 years with the Gunners after joining the club from Stoke in 1988. Here he is speaking after his testimonial against Real Madrid.
It's one that's hard to put into words. I thought I'd seen and experienced everything at club level and international level. The ups and the downs and the winning trophies, and I thought I'd experienced it all. But to actually have a crowd that turn up just for you is, you know, it brought a tear to my eye, and I'm not ashamed to admit that.
In total, Lee made 619 appearances for the Arsenal, scoring 28 times, including this one in the Champions League.
Flipped forward by Keogh. Donato going across with Henri. Oh, it's Lee Dixon! Where did he come from? And Deportivo still don't know the answer.
That goal came in a 5-1 victory against another D, Deportivo La Coruña. We played the Spanish side 4 times, with that being our only victory in March 2000.
Bergkamp took that nicely on the half turn. That enabled the pass to go to Overmars. In comes Henri! Slick and snappy from Arsenal. Petit with the free kick. And round the back, Thierry Henri with a header. Oh, Kanu. Wonderful finish. Smiles all around Highbury. And Jack Songo left in a heap by Kanu. So Bergkamp stays on and takes the free kick and scores from it via the deflection.
The Chalkboard with Adrian Clark.
Well, joining me at the Chalkboard is Adrian Clark. Clarky, how's it going?
Hello, Russ. Yeah, I'm all right, thanks. Yeah, not too bad.
Disappointing weekend, obviously, for Arsenal. We'll start, I think, with our question on the chalkboard. Should Elneny have started ahead of Cochlear against Manchester City?
Oh, yeah, good question. It took everybody by surprise, didn't it, Francis Coquelin's inclusion. What I will say is that for the 56 minutes he was on the pitch, I think he was arguably Arsenal's best-performing defender. There were three or four really well-timed tackles that Francis Coquelin made. A couple of them stemmed dangerous breakaways. One or two of his passes went astray, I think. But overall, I actually think he did OK in that position. So if I was judging him on his performance, I would say he was just fine. What I would have done in that scenario with the shortage of defenders, I would have gone with a flat back four. I think sometimes if there just aren't enough players in a certain position, it's maybe better to revert back to a unit and a shape that Arsenal are really comfortable in anyway. So that's what I would have done. And that's what obviously Arsene Wenger went to in the second half. I guess if you're Elneny, you're feeling a little bit put out because he's been the go-to guy at centre-half. There's also Debuchy who might have felt that he was worth a try. But look, for me, absolutely no blame to Coquelin for that defeat. And actually, when you judge him on his performance, it was just fine.
And the good thing about the back three is you can afford to have one non-natural centre-half in there. But when you have Monreal there too as ostensibly a left-back... Yeah. I just wonder whether that is just a bridge too far sometimes.
Maybe, yeah. He's naturally a fullback, isn't he, Monreal? So yeah, well, it wasn't ideal, and I guess the fact that there was a new face in the middle may have unsettled Koscielny and Monreal to some degree. But yeah, I want to reiterate it. I've watched the game twice, and I've not found a lot to fault Coquelin in terms of his defending.
OK, we continue to ask you a few questions at the chalkboard and, of course, preview the Spurs game in our show next week. Which player in the Cup 11 do you think is closest to breaking into the Premier League 11?
It's got to be Jack Wilshere. Has to be. I think he's shown up really well in the Cup competitions. Arsenal, at times, are crying out for someone like him, his creativity,
moving
to make things happen.
Quickly, yeah, as well.
He moves the ball quickly between the lines, and in and around the final third, he's imaginative. And I think that makes a big difference. Aaron Ramsey is a key man at the moment because he's the one midfielder that's adding drive and unpredictability. He's popping up in areas that you need midfielders to pop up in. What we're lacking a little bit of at the moment is a bit of nous in and around the box. I'm a Mesut Ozil fan, but he didn't play well against Manchester City. And it's food for thought that maybe Jack Wilshere could come into that role. If he doesn't play in an attacking midfield position, I could see Jack Wilshere in a midfield three. I wouldn't mind seeing an Arsenal midfield three in the weeks to come. Maybe with Xhaka flanked either side by Ramsey and Wilshere. I think that could work out well.
And then Sanchez maybe playing off Lacazette. Yeah. But there again, where would you play Iwobi?
Yeah.
There's always going to be debate.
Yeah,
like
of the kids, I'd say maybe Maitland-Niles is probably knocking on the door. I feel he's been a bit unlucky in that he's been used out of position in the Cup games at fullback. I'd love to see him in central midfield, but there are opportunities for him in that position. And I'll tell you what, on the back of that brace, I know it was only one game, but I'd like to see Eddie Nketiah be on the bench for a Premier League game, just as an option, because this kid can finish. And when you're in search of a goal desperately in a particular match, sometimes you can throw on a wild card. United did it with Marcus Rashford last season, or it's a couple of seasons ago. Nketiah could be that guy for Arsenal.
And you have someone then, say, for a prolonged career, like maybe a Solskjaer at Man U, who they can almost make semi-career out of coming off the bench and scoring critical goals.
Yeah, what I've noticed about Nketiah going back to pre-season is that he always has a chance. He puts himself into the box and the ball is like a magnet to him. He will have opportunities. So, yeah, he could be a super sub.
I've got a very interesting final question for the chalkboard. We heard from Hector Bellerin earlier about his degree on the podcast. Let's not even go there with Arsene Wenger's degree course and the controversy that that created in Brain of Arsenal last week. Not that I mind. But if you were to go to or go back to university, I'm not sure if you did a cheeky little one after you retired or not, but what would you study?
Oh, it's a really tough question. I did do further education. I did A-levels in my spare time. I did them over 4 years, actually. I did maths for 2 years. I did English for 2 years after that. So I did go back to school. Kind of wish I'd done a degree, really, after that. But I think I just had enough of studying. For financial reasons, I'd probably do something like law, because every lawyer that I know is minted, and it seems like easy money to me.
But we might not have you here. I don't know what I'd do then.
Do you know what? I'd probably do languages. I think that's the one thing that I regret not spending my spare time doing. I'm always really envious of people that can speak different languages. And it can come in so handy.
Do you speak any at all?
No, pidgin French, pidgin Spanish. That's about it. Dos cerveza, por favor. That's about it. That's all I've got in my armory. But it's handy when I'm on holiday. So that's probably what I do. But I'm all for footballers using their spare time to educate themselves. Why don't more of them do it? I think it's a no-brainer, because let's be honest, you do have a lot of downtime.
Bad news for you, this week's edition of Brain of Arsenal is going to be in French.
Brain of Arsenal.
I'm only joking, it's okay. We'll stick in English, Clarky. Don't worry, pleased to say that Liam Roberts, the Arsenal Weekly podcast editor, rejoins us. Again, mate, good work from Alecky when you weren't here. Got to be careful of that, man.
I want to put this record straight. I was actually producing it over the phone. I was in the train station waiting room because I was delayed. It took me 4 hours to get here. So even when I'm not here, I'm here. So
but
remember that.
Alecky's presence in the studio
makes you lucky. Makes you very, very, very lucky.
First ever 4-4 draw, of course.
It just raises standards, doesn't it, Alecky?
I suppose go back. So the only thing you know how to say in Spanish is two beers, please.
Yeah.
I think that says more about you. Two beers, please, and whatever anyone else wants. Is that,
not even that bit.
Yeah. Right. So amazing performance by you both last week. Yeah. Lucky. Thanks. Well studied. So we're coming in this week, weeks 2 and 3. Who went first last week? I can't remember.
You went first, I think, didn't you? Yeah. Clark went first last
week. Yeah, put big pressure on and you rose to the occasion.
Your decision, Russ.
Okay.
Would you like to go first or second?
I'll go first.
First, so you're into week 2.
Of Arsene Wenger pre-Arsenal.
Pre-Arsenal, okay. Yeah. So 4 questions, starting now. Which team did Arsene Wenger allegedly support as a child?
Borussia Mönchengladbach.
Correct. Question 2. Which year did he receive his manager's diploma?
1981.
Correct.
Oh, you dug deep for that.
Question 3. Arsene Wenger's Monaco side lost the 1992 European Cup Winners' Cup final against which team?
Werder Bremen.
Correct. Not looking good, Clarky. And question 4, how many senior teams did Arsene Wenger play for?
Okay, this is a very interesting one. Are we counting the amateur team or not? Are we counting his first Strasbourg team, which was the amateur Strasbourg team?
No.
No, okay, if we're not counting that. Okay, so Dutenheim was not, I think, a senior team either. So I'm gonna say Mutzig, Malouze, and the senior Strasbourg team. So 3 senior teams plus 2 amateur teams sandwiched in between as well.
Correct.
You raised the bar there, mate. That is outstanding. You might as well do it in French. I've had about 2 minutes to revise this. Here we go.
Okay, and I caught you revising when I got here. Yeah. So, Arsenal 1997-98, week 3, starting now. Who was Arsenal's biggest defeat of the season against, and what was the score?
Oh, I believe it was one of the dead rubbers at the end of the season, which was Liverpool 4, Arsenal 0.
Correct.
Nice.
Okay, question 2. In the 10-game winning streak that won the league, how many clean sheets did Arsenal take?
Okay, this is going to be a guess. Judging by the fact that you're making this a question, there was quite a few. So I'm going to say 8 of 10.
Correct.
Oh.
Hello.
Question
three. How many red cards did Arsenal receive that season?
Oh, man. You know what? When you disturbed my revision, I was busy tossing them up. Is this in the Premier League? And I didn't get to the end of the season. So is this over the whole season or just Prem?
I'll tell you what, it was the whole season. Yeah,
97. Whole season, right. Well, I know that Vieira got a couple, didn't he? Bergkamp got one. Yeah, T got one. So that's four I know of. I think Keown got one, five. And now, look, if it's more than five, it's your fault because you interrupted me. So I'm going to say five.
Correct.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Dear, dear. Question four. This is not good because it means I've got to go even deeper next week on two subjects and I'm running out of questions. So, question four, for the draw, how many goals did Ian Wright score in all competitions?
Oh, no, I hadn't got around to doing this. It's not as many, I don't think, as we'd expect because he missed a lot of games. He got about 11 in the league. 16 is winking at me. I don't know if it's right, but I'll say 16.
It was 11.
Oh.
So it's like 3.5 almost, but no, 4-3, amazing effort.
Yeah, I think three in week three is by far the highest week three score we've ever had, isn't it? Yeah. That was amazing.
So yeah, that'll play well when I total up the total questions at the end of the season. Oh. But congratulations, Russ. On to week three for you next week.
Stick for one more week, yeah.
AD, you are changing your subject.
Oh, I am, aren't I? Hadn't really given it a lot of thought, but someone I always enjoy bumping into here behind the scenes at Emirates Stadium is Charlie George. He's a ledge, isn't he, around the place, a real character.
He can hit him as
let's do a little bit of knowledge on Charlie George.
Excellent, Liam. Clarkie, when can we see or hear you again?
I've got the week off, so international break, of course. So I will be back, I think, not until the Monday after the Spurs game. So back for the breakdown on the 20th.
No excuse, though, not to be fully prepped for your new subject. Well, that's full time on this week's show. Our thanks to Hector Bellerin, to James Ollie, and to Adrian Clark for their contributions today. We'd like to know how we're doing in the podcast, so please leave us a rating and review on iTunes. You can subscribe as well and find us on Acast these days. And also remember to get your questions into Clarkie for the Chalkboard on Twitter using the hashtag Arsenal Weekly. We're back on Monday, the 13th of November. Before then, we're back with another Arsenal Weekly podcast story. So that's on Thursday, the 9th, and it features the legendary Gilberto.
The Arsenal Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.